The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to verse 18. It is page 320 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast in the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Amen. Matthew chapters 5 to 7 is called the Sermon on the Mount because it is said they were taught on a mountain. Among them, chapter 5, verse 13 testifies as follows. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Jesus said to the disciples, you are the salt of the world. The most important function of the salt is to bring out taste in food. It is awful just imagining having to eat a saltless dish, no matter what wonderful ingredients were used. Now, this world is a tasteless place, but people think that the world is tasteful and indulges themselves with the world. So some pursue after pleasure, but after their bodies and minds are ruined at the end of pleasure, they at last realize that these were all meaningless, in other words, empty of flavor, and come to regret them. And some rush ahead thinking that power and fame are tasty, and for a time they do feel delicious. A lot of people, seeing how others bow their heads at their words, think, this is the way to live. But isn't there a saying that power does not last for longer than 10 years? The emptiness that comes after power only leaves a bitter taste of life. And some try to feed the taste of the world with a lot of material possessions, but at the time of their death, they deeply realize that possessions that are not used in the right way deprive taste not only from their lives, but the lives of their family members. The Christians are people who supply meaning, in other words, taste of life to others. The world without Christians is like a dish that is saltless. And salt functioned as a preservative in the ancient world when refrigeration was not developed. And so the saying, you are the salt of the world, means that you are like the preservative for the world. Now this assumes that this world is prone to become rotten and go bad. The world without Christians is like a fish that is on the way of becoming bad. It is only when Christians diligently do their part in different places that the world at last becomes a salted fish and not a rotten fish. If the place where we happen to be is tasteless and is becoming rotten, although we are the salt, then it is because either we are not doing our job by melting ourselves, or we are not salt. And Jesus also said this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. Jesus said to the disciples, you are the light of the world. At the time, light was very precious, There weren't matches or lighters. But you had to make light by using nature, like Flintstones. So once the light was put out, it was really difficult to get it going again. So when you went out, you made the light weak and hid it under a bowl. And this is what the Lord is speaking about. You make a light and hide it under a bowl when you had to, but the original purpose of the light was to put it on its stand so that people can use it. While the salt does its part silently, light appears as something that everyone can look upon it openly. Salt works by melting inside, but the light works by making its appearance on the outside. The function of the light is to reveal. When there is darkness, nothing can be seen. But when light shines in that place, everything becomes revealed. No matter what a small thing it is, it will be revealed before the light without fail. The Lord's words that you are the light of the world means that this world is darkness. Even so, a lot of people is not aware that this world is darkness. Even if one lived under brilliant lights all his life, if he meets Jesus Christ, who is the eternal life light personally, he comes to understand at last how dark those lights were. And the function of the light is to guide. When we drive along a road in dark night, the headlight of the car guides the way. And when we sail in a dark ocean, the lighthouse shines on the path. In ancient times, when the compass was not invented, people found their way by looking at stars, such as the Northern Star. This world without Christians is like driving without headlight along a mountain path without a light, and sailing the stormy sea without a lighthouse. If the places where Christians happen to be are still dark, although we are supposed to be the light, and other people do not know which way to go because they do not know how to live their lives, then we are pretending that we are not the light, although we are the light, or our lives have lost its connection with the Lord, who is the eternal light, so that we are no longer the light. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world." The word that is emphasized here is you. It is saying that not others, but you are the salt and the light of this world. The people who listened to the Sermon on the Mount of the Lord at the time were not people of high class or people of high authority or the best scholars of the time. They were not the people who dominated the Galilean commercial market. They were fishermen of Galilee without much possession and learning. They were tax collectors who were the objects of finger-pointing. And they were people who were filled with their own self-righteousness and thoughts. But still, the Lord did not hesitate to say to them that you are the salt of this world. You are the light of this world. Now, today's text tells us that we must go a step further. All Christians are those who fulfill their salvation. The attitude with which to do this is with fear and trembling. This is not fear or trembling about losing salvation or that salvation might become nullified. But this is fear and trembling, knowing the value and the importance of salvation. Therefore, there is no better way to live a valuable life than by fulfilling the salvation, completing the salvation. This has more value than making a lot of money or becoming famous or holding a high position. And this is the way to become acknowledged by God rather than achieving a mountain of accomplishments. So in order for us to accomplish the perfection of this salvation, God give us the desire to live such a life and supplies us with the strength to do so. The biggest obstacle to a life that tries to accomplish perfection of salvation is arguing and grumbling. Arguing and grumbling comes out when situations unfold that were not in our expectations. The 40 years in the desert that the children of Israel spent after 400 years of slavery is a good lesson for us. If we were to summarize that 40 years in one phrase, we could say that it was arguing and grumbling. That God had given them freedom that they could not get on their own. And they became free people. And then they received the promised land, Canaan. But they set fire on their arguments and complaints to God because they happened to lack things like fish, cucumber, melons, chives, scallions, and garlic that they thought they needed immediately. Now, Psalm 106, verses 13 to 15 testify as follows. But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold. In the desert, they gave in to their craving. In the wilderness, they put God to the test. So he gave them what they asked for, but sent a wasting disease among them. Now they ate the manna that God had sent down to them, and they ate the meat of the quails that God had sent to them, and drank water from the rock that God burst forth. But their eyes became as weak as they can be in perceiving God. And they were not able to see what God truly wanted to give them, which was the land of Canaan. Although God led the children of Israel, his people, to the best of the best, they argued and grumbled, claiming that they were not the best in their eyes. The story of these children of Israel is actually unfolding our lives. Although they may have done what they did because they lacked the Bible or good models, we have been given God's words. And we have numerous testimonies from people of faith over thousands of years who have testified that although God's leading may not look like the best course at the time, there is no better way than God's leading. But we're not good at believing this. And so, there are so many cases in which we're not able to make progress towards the salvation of sanctification, salvation at a higher level, because of the fires of arguments and grumblings. The reason that God made Israel leave Egypt was not simply to have them leave, but for them to enter the land of Canaan as God's people. In the same way, the reason that God made us to go through the spiritual exodus is not for the salvation that we will receive later, but for us to perfect our salvation as His children. Therefore, and we cannot perfect our salvation just by not arguing or complaining. And the verse 15 testifies as to how we are to change, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. It says that we are to go beyond refraining from arguing and complaining and go to the state of being blameless and pure. If arguing and grumbling is a problem between me and God, we could say that being blameless and pure is a problem between me and myself. To say that someone is blameless means that he has no grounds for being criticized. It signifies that the person has maintained a high level of ethics and a high standard of morals in his life. This means that when people around us examine our lives, nothing is found that will leave them to say, that is wrong, or have found to have acted ignorantly or unreasonably that deserves criticism or scolding. In other words, my life should be a good example to other people and not a bad example. There are people whom we come to shun the more we get to know them. We should become those who give off more fragrance as others draw nearer to us. If we were to give an example of a person who is most representative of being blameless, it would be Daniel. Daniel chapter 63, verses 3-9. Now Daniel is so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, and advisors and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god of human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered. In accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. The time that Daniel was taken as a captive was when King Nebuchadnezzar seized Jerusalem for the first time. That was the time of Jehoiakim, approximately 605 B.C. Daniel was about 16 at the time. But the story of Lion's Den takes place at the time of Darius. Now, when we look at paintings of Daniel praying in the lion's den, a lot of them portray him as a young man, but this is not correct. The time that Daniel went into the lion's den was around 539 BC. So there is about 66 years between the time that Daniel was taken as a captive and when he went into the lion's den. So Daniel was about 82 years old when he went into the Daniel's den. Daniel served at least five kings, and when he was dragged away to Babylon, it was the time of the empire, Babylonian Empire. But when he went into the lion's den, it was a time of Persian Empire. But he was still the prime minister. In our country, the prime minister and the ministers are replaced many times during the 5 years of presidency. But Daniel was a prime minister, although the kings changed. and although the empire has changed. And this is all the more exceptional given that he was in a hostile country. So Daniel is truly great and a marvel. And because he was in the enemy country, Daniel couldn't have his own faction. And among numerous subordinates of the king, there were none on his side. In politics in our country, there is a party in power and the opposition party, and even within the same party, there are many factions. But Daniel was the God's party member, and he was the representative and the sole member of this party. The rest of the officials were all the party of Asher, and the people who were in that opposition party became united in trying to find faults with Daniel. But they could not find any. If he were today, it would be like this. They searched his financial records, and they went through his bank account records, but not a cent was out of order. They investigated his handphone records to see if there were secret relationships with women, but his calls were all related to work. They also looked to see if there were problems with his family, but the relations were so good that they had no need of sesame and sesame oil. The Koreans say this about a husband and wife who have a good time living together. That there was no fault to Daniel's life and his faith, being loyal, and were blameless, was confirmed even from the perspective of those who opposed them. And so his life was truly brilliant. That something is pure means that no impurity is mixed in. In particular, this word denotes that even when the other approaches with evil intentions, one maintains purity of the self. If blameless is about maintaining nobility on the outside, being pure is maintaining nobility of the inside. In other words, Christians are those who pursue cleanliness and purity both inside and outside. When we think of the word pure, we think of Esther. Haman made a plan to kill all Jews in Persia because they refused to bow to him. He picked the date of the killing as the 13th day of the 12th month and gave a public notice that on that day all Jews were to be killed and their possessions were to be confiscated. All Jews of the region who were informed of this notice put on sackcloth and publicly grieved and fasted. Mordecai went to his cousin and asked her to let the king know of this fact. But Esther said that unless the king holds out the golden scepter, in other words, the golden staff, when she goes to see him without being called, she would die. And she said that it had been over 30 days since the king had called her. But Mordecai refused to back down and challenged her by saying, "How do you know that it was for this time that you became a queen?" And urged her to commit herself. So Esther made the following resolution. Chapter 4, verse 16 testifies as follows. "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Esther did not use her power as a queen to gather a military to fight against Haman or plotted to send an assassin at midnight to kill him. What she did was fast. Now, human beings must eat to gain strength. And so, it is said that, generally, people who need a lot of physical strength eat a lot. It is said that traditional wrestlers eat 20 persons' portion of beef, even traditional wrestlers at elementary school level eats 3 to 5 persons portion of fatty pork, and on top of that, 4 to 5 bowls of rice. The reason they eat so much is because they can only exert strength when they eat. And so to fast means to confess that my strength does not come from me, but its source is with God. Esther fasted as a resolution to entrust everything to God without allowing impurities to become mixed in with her thoughts or her life. The reason that our lives must be pure and blameless is because the world is warped and crooked generation. Warped means that something is bent out of shape from the outside, and crooked means that something is bent and out of shape from the inside. But this world is always without flavor and is corrupt, but it pretends that it is not so. It is darkness and is lost, but argues that it is the light and knows the way and brainwashes us to believe it. I will recite verse 15 again. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. It says that we are to appear as light, as children of God. Here, the word light refers to the object that gives off the light, the stars. And so the word light is in the plural. In other words, it means that each of our lives is meant to be the moon, the sun, and the northern star. It means that our lives must be so completely different that they become a model and example to others. And not merely that some good deeds are mixed in our lives so that they shine on something from time to time. So we must be different from unbelievers in the way that we talk, the way we dress, our attitudes in studying and working, the way we treat others, and the way we act out our roles in our families, in every way. And most of all, our values must be different. To unbelievers, what they see in the world is all, but we are people who treat God's kingdom and what are not seen as being more precious and more important. Through Daniel, who was not found to have any fault or grounds for persecution, although his opponents, who had the power and the money, tried to do so, God said the following, Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. The person who most befits the above description is probably Daniel himself. The time that Daniel lived on this earth was about 2,500 years ago, when he was taken away as a captive to an alien land and served as an official there and tried to do his best to live a life which was blameless and keep his purity for God. God made him shine like a star in the sky. Therefore, he still stands today as a person who is faithful like a star in the sky. And Haman died on the day that he had planned to massacre the Jews. And 2 days after that was the day of Purim, the most festive occasion among the Jews. When Esther did not harbor evil or hostile intentions, but focused on God with a pure heart, God raised up Esther's name so that it became among the names in the books that make up the Bible. The meaning of the name of Esther is star. When I was pastoring in Geneva, a baritone, Go Sang-hyun, who is also a professor of music at Hanyang University, came to Grand Theatre in Geneva for the performance of La Tosca by Puccini. Because he could only have Korean food, there wasn't a good place for him to stay, so he stayed at the home of a Korean lady, a deaconess, for about 2 months. And one night, several musicians got together with a Deacon Go. After the meal, a singer who was working as a tenor asked at the opera theater, asked Mr. Go, "I love singing, but there are times that I become excited when I sing. At such times, I sing too passionately, and at the end, I end up running out of strength. I think I should correct this, but I'm having a hard time correcting this tendency." And Deacon Go answered him by saying, "If you don't correct it now, you will never be able to correct it. It is easy to think that it will correct itself as the time goes on, but that will never be corrected that easily. I think of a singer as a gladiator. The music, like the music of the opera, is the wild beast, like a lion. At the Colosseum, the gladiator and the wild beast face off one another. The more outstanding the gladiator will kill the beast in the most flourishing manner. The audience demands that the gladiator kill the beast, but if the gladiator cannot kill the beast because of lack of strength, or he runs out of strength, then he becomes killed by the animal, and he must give up his place to another gladiator. I am a baritone, but I think that among male singers, the most flattering part is the tenor. And so, tenor must lead the performance well. If tenor does not lead well, then in case of Tosca, that I'm performing this time, the tenor Mario Cardosi will be step-trampled all over by Baron Scarpia, the baritone. As I was listening to this conversation, I felt like I was listening to a lecture on theory on sermon. This is what I thought. Yes, being a pastor is like a gladiator. Depending on how he treats the word, the congregation will cheer or not feel anything. With the same words, if some pastors preach, they really sound as God's words. Wow. When others preach, they just sound like boring lectures. On the way home, I thought about how a gladiator and pastor was alike in that they both work in front of people, and how they must continuously train themselves in order to stand at the Colosseum at the lectern. The only difference was that while the gladiator only needs to train outward features, in other words, his physical strength and technique, the pastor must train his inner self as well. I also thought that if pastor fails to train himself well, then he must give up his post to another. Now, while I was thinking along these lines, I asked myself, what is the real difference between a gladiator and a pastor? Then I thought, a gladiator gives a momentary pleasure to people, but the pastor must work to allow people to taste eternal joy. The gladiator becomes popular only when he's able to kill the animal, but the pastor, in order to make the God's word come alive, must kill himself, and it is only then that God will value his life. Singers, gladiator, pastor, there were a lot of commonalities. Because I'm a pastor, I think of everything from the perspective of pastoring, and I try to do right by that. Now what all of you do are different from what I do as my job, but your attitudes, I think, should be the same. Am I the faithful keeper? Is my perspective focused on what is eternal? We should always ask this question. This is the way to live as the light, the stars of this world. Let us pray. Father God, Thank you that you have reminded us that you want us to live as beings like light, like the stars on this earth. But we confess that there were many times that we thought that such life was reserved for pastors or for minority Christians, and we were exempted. So although I thought that I should dwell in the light, the places of my life were more often in darkness. And although I thought to myself, I said to myself, I should get away from those places, I lived secretly enjoying them. We once again bind our clothing and tie our shoes anew. Allow us to live as Daniels and Esthers of this age. We are neither prime ministers or queens, but allow us to live with blameless and pure heart at the stations of our lives that you allow us, a life befitting your children. And so although our lives are in darkness, allow us to light the light of truth to those who do not know darkness as darkness, and serve as the flashlight that point the way to the Lord, who is the eternal light, to those who are lost. And like the northern star that consistently point in one direction, we pray that our lives also will be the northern star on this earth, which point in the right direction for other people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.